Now in its 10th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
From Harlem in New York City. Yes, it's Alex and the Ramble.
There she is, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely, the attractive Lori Thompson. Hello, Lori.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Good, but it's taking the cold turn here in Florida, which December's not bad usually. It's January and February that they're kind of in the panhandle, they're a little brutal, but it's taking turns. So that's why we're not outside amid the foliage today.
Yes, we probably won't see you until about 3 months, 4 months from now. You know.
Well, no, you can see me. Oh, you mean outside?
Outside.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, no, we can still talk.
Yeah.
But
before we started, I asked Lori if we could talk about something, because sometimes people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. You know. I just made a rule not to talk about it at parties, because it bores the shit out of people at parties.
Oh, don't even, you know, I use what I have as an excuse. I can't take out the garbage, dear. I've got leukemia.
I've got Yeah, I've heard about that. You know, I can't do this. I've got the cancer. I can't make a salad.
Yeah, it was like little Richard said to me, I'm sorry I didn't show up, but I have a touch of the cancer.
Right.
Yeah. I went, what?
Little Richard logic.
Let's tell people what's been happening with you, because I haven't mentioned it on the air because it's up to you to whether you want to tell it or not or say what's going on in your life.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
First of all, you had a lump in your neck.
A lump in my neck. It started as a sore throat, like a real intense sore throat. Thought, that's odd. So I went to my GP and got some antibiotics. And I don't know if I noticed it going down as much as the throat hurt much less. But then it comes roaring back. And I thought, this isn't right. So I go back to the GP, and he said, he did some tests and some scans, and he said, no, you've got something that needs looking at by an ENT. So I went to the ENT, and it was squamous cell cancer near the voice box. And I understand it has another fancy name, because you know what you do when you have cancer? You spend a lot of time in waiting rooms reading their posters. You know, in doctor's offices, they always have posters. So I'm getting an education on the throat, the fancy Latin names for things. And so it was near the voice box when they first found it. And since then, they are concerned because it's near the lymph nodes, you know, because right here, it's kind of, it parties with your lymph nodes.
Yeah.
And so that was what was concerning them. So
did they feel for your lymph nodes at all?
You know what? I saw a great poster, though, that talks about how they spread through the lymph nodes. It looks like a rosary that you're wearing through your lymph nodes. And so it can, obviously, that's the body's internet system, the lymph nodes. And that's the main thing they want to avoid, because when it gets in the lymph nodes, it metastasizes into other organs.
Right.
So,
well,
we don't.
They, like, I went for my leukemia checkup, which I came out fine. I just, you know, I went every 4 months, and now he told me come back in 6.
Cool. Oh, you're graduating.
Yeah. Although I did find, I think I have kidney problems, but that's another deal altogether.
That's another,
you know, I mean, no, the blood test came back and certain things said I have a mild version of kidney dysfunction. But at my age, I think your kidneys start to kind of go, you know.
They become less reliable.
They've been filtering for a long time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quit soda and I'm going to just drink nothing but water.
Yeah. That'll help, like, with a myriad things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good idea. And I actually didn't drink a lot of soda until they told me my sodium was low. And I thought, well, some V8 juice has a heck of a lot of sodium. So I started mixing that with sugar-free Sprite, and it tastes good. It tastes, it gives you the fizziness of a soda, but it's V8 juice.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to cut that out too.
Anyway, but, let's get back to you. Enough about me. So they do the biopsy.
The biopsy.
Was it a biopsy, or did they take it out completely, the lung?
They didn't take it out. It was a biopsy, and they found out it's squamous cell cancer. And so then they run a lot of reassuring tests, like, we're going to make sure you got it. We're going to make sure where it is. And then we got that determined that it was cancer. And so then we wasted no time in getting it attended to, and just had a bunch of these appointments in 1 week. Usually they want you to take a scan or some kind of, CTs. I've had sonograms.
Yeah.
MTIs. What's the big one?
Anyway,
I'll think of it.
The one I can't stand. The MRI. One I won't do.
Right. The MRI. Yeah, because there is
MRIs.
Yeah. And if you're a claustrophobic person, I'm only claustrophobic about ceilings. I don't like low ceilings. But other than that, you can stick me in a tube and I'm fine. And so I've done several tube involvements the last few days. And then we went to the chemo expert and we went to the radiologist, and whose wife was in radio. So we had a lot to talk about. But they basically just get you scheduled and make sure you're in good health. They said gain some weight, because you tend to gain weight during this treatment. You tend to lose weight, rather. So Michael Douglas had the same kind of cancer. And he lost 40 pounds in his treatment. So you learn all this anecdotal stuff.
Yeah.
But the recovery rate, the cure is good.
Yeah. But so what have they prescribed now? What is going to happen to you?
Well, then I had to have a PET scan, and that's where they put dye in you. It's a sugar-based dye, and it only clings to the cancer. Yeah. So that way they can find out exactly where you need the radiation, because they target it with a series of, you know, it's like a laser burglar alarm in a museum. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll isolate it and find out exactly where, and then they'll just go in every morning for several weeks, and it will be in conjunction with the chemo. And the first chemo, this is the worst part. I'm such a wuss. It'll be 6 hours for the first chemo. 6 hours, and I'm like, I can't sit in one place for 6 hours. I have no attention span. I can't be there for 6 hours. Well, it's going to save your life. Okay, I'll take my iPad and a series of attention distracting devices. So that'll be fine. But I was concerned about the long time.
Well, the chemo is the rough part, I think.
Now I've heard the radiation.
I mean, I did my radiation. I don't remember having any effect from it.
Yeah, they said it doesn't. You know, it doesn't really phase you. Like you could feel the same after your radiation as you did before you went in. It supposedly doesn't really change the way you feel that much.
Yeah.
But it makes you tired, and so excuses to that. And then the chemo, I think, can make you nauseous. It did my mom. I'm not real prone to nauseous. So I'm not concerned, really. But it will. I've been writing a lot about it just so I can go back. And, you know, it's a unique journey, if nothing else.
Well, I can't. Then I won't be able to talk to you for quite a few weeks, because I've been designated as a prime cause for regurgitation.
So, well, I will take my chances with you, I think. And,
well, you know, I've never been through chemo, so I have no idea what the chemo is. I have been through the cyberknife version of radiation, which is an intense amount of radiation, more than they normally give, and it's targeted and all of that and whatever. You know, I had they put 4 tattoos on me.
Yeah, that will, they said, and they stay, don't they? between treatments?
Yeah.
So I guess I'll get a tattoo after all.
You'll be in with the kids today. Anyway. Yeah. No, I still look down. I still see mine.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, mine will be on my neck, so I hope they don't, you know, look like I'm a victim of Dracula or something.
So, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know.
But no, I'm being.
Are you planning to go out and get laid anytime soon by a stranger?
Not by a stranger.
I don't think so. So don't worry about how you look or any of those things.
Let it go.
May make you lose hair.
That's what they said. It probably won't, but that's okay too. I've got that figured. I have a number of very cool, trendy, colorful stocking caps.
Yeah, do they say probably it won't?
They said they don't think it will, but I don't know if it's because of a difference in brands and their track record.
I don't know a thing about chemo, but I do know about the radiation, and I do know that I had, five sessions in which I laid on this thing, and my doctor came down and told me exactly where to aim the radiation and all of that. And then the little thing went around and around, and every now and then had this little eye on it, and he stared at me.
Yeah.
And then they say, after about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, they go, okay, now we're going to do it.
And yeah, they're getting all their measurements.
Then 30 seconds later, they said, okay, you're finished.
Yeah, that's what I understand about radiation.
Yeah, and but they gave me the radiation, and then they did the seeds.
Yeah, because you're with the prostate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Can they do that on other organs?
What?
Can they do seeds on other organs? Could they do it on my throat?
Oddly enough, I read about it, and they can do it on cancers of the neck.
Really? I'll ask them about it. Yeah.
A lot of hospitals don't do seeds, and the reason is they don't know how to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't know how to, so they say, oh, we don't like that. We don't think it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But up here at Mount Sinai, I got a guy here that, like, wrote the book on it. Now, he does prostate, basically, I think, but I don't know. He may do other forms of what they call brachytherapy.
That's it. That came up. Oh, we watched a good movie, a 15-minute film strip, only it's just a CD, a video, and they mentioned brachytherapy.
Yeah.
And I thought you'd mentioned it. Did
they say that brachytherapy was something you could have?
They said it was an option, and this guy does mainly throat cancers. So I am going to ask that again, because I thought seeds were exclusive to prostate. But if they can do it here, I'm going to ask him.
And when I read it, it said prostate, blah, 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 and neck. And when I saw neck, I went, Lori should look into that.
Yeah, I will.
It's one time.
Yeah.
They do it, and then you don't get near any pregnant women. You know.
Okay. Don't hang out with me these days.
They told me don't get near any pregnant women. Don't sit any babies on your lap.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So, and I never do that anyway. So, you know.
No. So if you were a pedophile, it would probably be a bad idea.
You might check into that. You know, I just think if they could do the seeds, it's a one-time procedure and you're good to go. You know?
Okay, I'm definitely going to check, because they both of these doctors, for me, the relationship and the gut feeling you get from them, along with massive internet research on your doctors, is as important as anything, because it influences your ability.
They're probably very good doctors, but they're also living in an area where stuff like brachytherapy may not be available. You know?
Yeah, well, Florida, you know, because of its... because of its high senior citizen population.
But if you want to check it, you could come to New York and get it. You could stay here.
Yeah.
And brachytherapy is like a one shot. And I don't know. You know, I just don't know what you've got. I know what I had, so I'm not going to give you any advice.
Yeah.
But if you don't have to go through unnecessary stress and strain and vomiting and all that crap.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
And there's an alternative to solving this problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I will definitely ask him about brachytherapy, because that's what very open. Ask me any questions. They were both very clear. No question is too small. And so that was a good feeling. And I'm not minimizing it, and I'm not being cavalier. I'm just real optimistic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the only way you can be. And at this point, you feel fine, right?
Right.
You know, you're healthy. And, you know, it's just that I feel bad that you have to go through this.
Yeah, because it's a chunk. We had to cancel our world cruise. And, well, we can rebook it in 2027, I think. And so that was, but that was just an inconvenience, you know. I mean, we want to address this priorities. And so we'll get this taken care of and then keep living life.
The way I dealt with it was I went, well, I've got prostate cancer. It was only a small amount they found in there. It was in like one of eight lobes that they found that it was. And they found it at something like a seven or something like that. So they decided to just do the whole thing.
Yeah.
So they sent me to this guy who does the brachytherapy. He said, first thing we're going to do is give you radiation. He said, we're going to use they didn't call it the CyberKnife because that's a brand name.
It is, you know, and I didn't know that brand names so infiltrated cancer treatment and surgeries and things like that.
Yeah.
And they do. Like, we've got platinum. We got platinum radiation.
Yeah, you might just check into the other. I mean, in your case, you may have to have the one that goes on for a month and a half, you know. So I'm not going to be your doctor, but I would ask about it. I would ask about... it's called, there's a name for it, and I can't remember what it is now. But it's
other than the brachytherapy?
The one that has the name CyberKnife, but they use a lot of other names, you know, whatever that is. Because I wasn't given CyberKnife, I was given something else that it's called, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So. Well, my husband's and his other wife had cancer. I thought, I hope he doesn't get a complex. She died of breast cancer.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I've never heard of this cancer before. Okay.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you what the odds are and so on and so forth.
It's real good.
You got to look them up. But I don't think it's as bad as breast cancer.
Oh, no. No, no. I don't think so either. It's not really, I mean, the throat. We're talking about, I don't mean to minimize it, but it's not like kidney or liver or things that your whole body relies on for every facet of its body to be.
Yeah, but I don't know what's going to go on and how your throat's going to be affected by it. But if it is affected by it, we can do a show like call it Love Actually, and you can hold up signs.
Okay. You know? Okay. I'll do that. I'll get my Etch-a-Sketch. I'll just get one of those.
Etch-a-Sketch. Yeah. Right.
Oh, which surprisingly, an Etch-a-Sketch that made me think of a show you recommended, Silo, which I had veered away from because it was sci-fi. I don't traditionally like sci-fi. But yeah, they collect things. There's somebody who has a framed Etch-a-Sketch in their apartment because it's a show about, it's a post-
apocalyptic, nuclear. Yeah, they live in this silo.
Yeah.
First season was great. Second season, not so much.
Yeah. It's just starting to wear me out just a little bit. We watched the first season, and you can feel when it's kind of fading on you.
The second season is, it's not there. Okay.
Yeah.
But the first season was sensational.
Yeah, I liked it. We liked it a lot. And have you ever heard... the thing I love about streaming is you can look up a show that everybody was talking about 10 years ago and then just binge watch it. Like, I'd never seen The Good Wife. And so now I figure with, you know, cancer recovery, you're going to be doing a lot of binging. So I'm trying to find a bunch of series and that was one of them.
Well, as you're sitting there getting your chemotherapy, I imagine they have TV sets there or something.
They do. They have. But we have to come to an agreement on it because there are two recliners and then they have one TV.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it will be interesting.
Well, let's hope it's somebody who has the same taste you do.
I know, because I'd hate to have to browbeat them, you know, and cause a Donnybrook there in the chemo.
Yeah, you don't want your chemo mates
That's right. You don't want to get a bad name in the chemo ward.
Yeah, right.
Oh, her?
Oh, boy. I worry about you. I worried about you. I just thought about you constantly, you know.
Yeah. And I appreciate that, man.
You know,
I
don't want to lose you. You know,
right.
I want to go first, all right?
Yeah, okay. Well, if you insist, but I, you know, I'm just down for whatever happens. That's something that, and AA is part of it, that I've gotten this attitude toward, you know, just roll with whatever comes. Just roll with it. And
well,
like,
what I did, you know what's surprising about me?
Hmm?
You know what a hypochondriac I was.
You know. Well, I never called it that. You would get concerned.
It's fair
about.
To call me. It's hypochondriac.
Okay.
I will cop to it. All
okay.
right. So anyway, I was hypochondriac, and everybody expected if Alex ever gets cancer, he's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
He's going to go nuts. Marjorie was amazed at how calm I was about the whole prostate cancer thing.
Yeah.
I was too. I just said, well, I'll just go to these things and we'll get the seeds and ba-dum-ba-dum. Now it's almost 5 years and nothing, knock on wood, has shown up because I have a meeting next month with my doctor.
Yeah.
But I'm going in for my leukemia thing now every 6 months. It was 4 months, but now it's
You're making progress.
Well, he said, because you've been a good boy. That's how he put it. You don't have to come back for 6 months, so... It's fine.
Yeah.
But then I looked at my blood tests, and my kidney stuff is not great. It's like, you know, you have a thing called the GFR, and it means I have mild, and the doctor, my doctor told me this, mild
kidney dysfunction.
Dysfunction, yeah.
Yeah.
But that could be, I had stones and everything. Could have put it slightly out of whack. Could be there's some more stones in there, you know.
Just waiting, just fighting to get
just
out through
waiting,
that tiny
just,
opening.
Have you ever had kidney stones?
Oh, gosh. They're the worst pain. They're the absolute worst. It takes you, first of all, it would take you an hour to walk six feet, and you would be in agonizing pain.
Well, I got it in my back while I was working here one day.
Yeah.
You know, and I got bad enough by that evening that I went to the hospital and checked to the emergency room, and they checked me in, and I was there for four and a half days.
Whoa, because I had one. This is weird, the things that make you remember. I had one, and it was a week that you had a show, maybe at the Frost Amphitheater or something,
that
you had a live comedy show that you were producing. And so I filled in for you that Friday, I think. And what made me think that something was amiss is every time I took a step with my left foot, a shooting pain would go up.
Oh, I didn't have it that bad, but I had it pretty bad.
Yeah. They're such a drag. Yeah. And then they give you now some medicine to break it up. And so I remember I went over to get it filled, the prescription filled. And while I was in the pharmacy, I realized I had locked my keys in the car while it was running. And I had a kidney stone.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah, well, they didn't do that with me. They just immediately booked me in and said, we're just going to put you on a saline drip and get liquid through your system so it'll flush it out. And you can't go home until you... You know,
do you urinate? Oh, they call it, you know what they call it in Britain, British medicine, they call it micturate. Instead of urinate or pee, micturate.
Well, micturate, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, Rick and I say exclusively, we don't say, you know, take a whiz. We say micturate. And then the bathroom is the micatorium.
So that.
Yeah, so it's
so
fun. My friend
is the, that is the piss version. Defecate.
Yes, yes. I like micturate. We like micturate much better. Pee. you know, or piss.
Don't you just love it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, but they kept me in the hospital for 3.5 days, and they put me in a bed in the cancer ward.
Could be worse, well, Mister.
What do you call it? It's got a name for it.
Intensive care.
Huh?
Intensive care.
No,
or
something else. But anyway, everybody on the other rooms had cancer except mm-hmm. me, and I didn't have it. And I said, "Is there something you're not telling me?" And they said, "No, we just didn't have room anywhere else. And you're lucky. You got the big, beautiful." And I had a huge TV set and everything. You know, they figure end of life. Let's let them watch with a big
right.
TV.
Let's let him live.
Hey, listen, we've run out of time here.
Okay, but you know, it's good to talk about it. I don't ever want to bore people at parties with this with it. So this is, it doesn't bother me to talk about it.
Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that there's Miss Thompson. Thank you, Miss Thompson.
Bon voyage.
Bye-bye.
Now in its 10th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. We appreciate it. That's wonderful. And we'll be with you again next week. I'm glad you told the story because I've been living with it for the last couple of weeks, and she's been constantly on my mind, and yet I haven't told the story because I think it's up to her to tell it, and I think it's very brave of her to tell it, and I think it's good for other people who might be going through the same thing. Okay. All righty. Well, anyway, let's admit all, and let's bring in the Zoom here as we look at, let's see here, there's Jeffrey, and there's Josh, and there is Charlie Wallace. Hello to all of you.
Hello.
How you doing? How you doing, Charlie? Oh, wait a minute. He's connecting to his audio. Hi, Jeff. You okay?
How's that?
Yeah, you got it, Jeff. Good.
Thank
good,
you.
Good, 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 good. And Charlie, you on now?
I'm here.
You can hear me. Okay. Yep. And, of course, Josh. Hello, Josh.
Hello.
Okay. I didn't do a show last night.
Hmm.
And you're probably wondering why. And I'm happy to say there's absolutely no reason why. I just didn't feel like doing a show, okay? I didn't have a 25-minute interview to play because Lori couldn't do it till today because she had a PET scan yesterday. So we have to kind of accommodate her for her situation. But she does want to keep doing the interviews because she says it's something she really enjoys doing. So good. You know, I'm really happy for her. And we'll just keep a good thought out for her. And you won't be able to find out next week what's happened to her so far because next week's already been recorded. So, you know, we'll have to wait until actually the new year, after the new year, because we're taking off a couple of weeks off in the new year. We're taking off Christmas week and then New Year's week. And we're going to take that Thursday and Friday off as well because – I don't know. Why not? You know. And then we'll be back on, I have to move my calendar to the next year to see when I'm on. Let's see. The 8th. The 8th of January. Yep. Okay. So we'll be back the 8th of January with a new show. I will be doing the Monday show, and I will be doing, of course, the first show after New Year's, okay? So that's just my current plan. I may change it, okay? All right. Anyway, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah? Yeah? You say you're pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I am 74, so I'm pretty good. 74.
Did you just have your birthday?
No, February.
Oh, okay. So now you're going to be 75 then.
Yep.
You're going to be 10 years younger than I am. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's how I remember my age.
Huh?
That's how I remember my age. You always say your age and I subtract 10.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But anyway, so.
Today, I'm in Florida now.
Oh, you're in Florida. Okay. Yeah. And you're there for what, the next 5 months or something?
Yeah.
You know something? You made the right choice because it's freezing up here. It is freezing up here.
Yeah.
However, Lori tells me that at least up in the panhandle, it's going to be around 50 tomorrow. So,
Not for where I am.
Now, you're where?
Good.
What's the... the near the beach.
Beach?
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach, oh, okay.
Palm Beach, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of down near Miami, right?
Yeah.
Not really, but it's getting in that direction.
Yeah. So, anyway.
And I have COVID also.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Good.
I think my wife gave it to me. Well, she seems to be.
Now you're vaccinated. So, you're vaccinated, right?
I have no idea.
You have no idea if you're vaccinated?
Oh, I got. Yeah, we took the test and all of that.
Oh, you got vaccinated. You got the shot, right?
Of course.
Okay. Well, then you're probably all right, but you might want to go get the Paxlovid and then.
We did.
Huh? Ah, good.
Oh, hi. Are you? Oh, wait a minute! You're both of you have COVID. I see.
Yeah. He gave
Don't
it to
breathe
me.
In the camera. Is it any?
Don't talk.
Yeah, I think if you've had the vaccine, you're probably pretty safe. But I'd say the Paxlovid will just make it easier if you and safer for you at your age.
Oh, yeah.
Since you're almost as old as I am.
I think for 5 days, I was just knocked out.
Oh, okay. So you've already had it, so forget it. You can't use the Paxlovid.
No, I'm talking about the last 5 days.
Yeah, I'm saying, but you can't do the Paxlovid because you have to do it within the first 5 days.
Yeah.
I did that.
Oh, you did the Paxlovid?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, then you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes away pretty fast when you take the Paxlovid.
It's feeling much better now.
Marjorie didn't take to the Paxlovid too well.
Mm. Yeah, Pam's not enjoying it.
Well, I know we don't like to talk about you know, as much as I say we don't want to talk about Trump.
Who?
Who?
Who you meant?
Okay, I'm glad you said that. Okay, I'll get on to other stuff. Wait a minute, let me try this. Biden.
Palm Springs.
Who? Anyway. Oh, boy.
Look out, Jeff. He's coming after you.
No, all I was going to say about the big orange orangutan.
Yeah,
he's Time's Man of the Year.
Yeah, that just means he's had the most effect on people. It doesn't mean it's not necessarily a good effect.
Well, I've always thought. Well, the Time's Man of the Year didn't necessarily go to somebody who had contributed.
Right.
It went to like Hitler. I think was a Man of the Year for Time, and you know people like that. And so it doesn't have to do with accomplishments that you've done during the year. You could be the biggest mass murderer of all time, and they might consider you the person of the year.
Yeah. You know?
It's now person of the year because man is not right, you know.
But, seems like they give it to all the wrong people. Give it to Hitler, give it to Trump.
Hitler, Trump.
A lot of times they give it to.
I think Stalin was Time's Man of the Year.
Yes, I think so too.
But it had nothing. It has nothing to do with accomplishments or goodness that you know.
Obviously.
Yeah, no, obviously. Yeah. It has to do with the fact that you were a major mover of something on the planet.
Yeah.
And in his case, I guess, you know, I may have to admit, I mean, the guy won among overwhelming odds, which oddly enough was himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I think Time's Man of the Year should be Luigi Manicotti or whatever his name is.
Mangione.
I
don't know. He got caught way too quick.
You know, I was rooting for him actually to get away with it.
So was I.
And, you know, he could have gotten away with it, I think, if he hadn't made a couple of mistakes. Number one, taking off that mask at the hostel.
Yeah.
That was the worst part. See, what happens is, here in New York, you turn on the TV, and there's the head of the police department and our mayor all taking claim for having traced this guy and where he went and what he was doing. They never would have been able to do that if they didn't have his name. Okay. Now they're laying claim to, oh, we knew where he went. He didn't really go into Golden Gate Park. And maybe he put the button in. We didn't go here. And he went on the bus, but he went to, took a bus out of whatever. They didn't know any of it. They were wrong on all of it. But now they supposedly are experts on it because they got his name. That was all they got. Before then, they didn't even have a name. So, you know, I think he could have gotten away with it if he had been a little more careful.
So a lot of people on social media are saying, you know, UnitedHealthcare is the only big corporation that doesn't provide executive security. You know, if you're not going to, this guy's making $10 million a year, get a... These are very common. These are very common to have made. Get a Kevlar or whatever you want to call it. Bullet.
Hey, you got $10 million. You can hire your own security.
Yeah.
That's my point, too. You could bet I would have security like that. But I would, at the very least, be wearing a Kevlar suit underneath, you know.
Well, I would think that if you were the head of a major health organization like that, you would think that some people would be out to kill you just based upon the fact that you might have denied a family member money.
Yeah. Probably what happened.
And I think that's what happened to him. I think a case could be made in court that he was so out of it because of the work that was done on him and the pain that he was in.
Yeah.
That this put him, this literally, what's the word? They diminished responsibility, diminished capacity. And they can make a good case for that.
Temporary insanity,
Plus, he looks too good to put into prison. You know, it's just not right. You know, of course, in prison, they're all rooting for him to join them.
That's right. Everybody's getting out there KY.
Yeah. But, you know, he, I don't know, people are rooting for him. I was rooting for him. I don't know about you.
That's too bad. No Fund Me won't do a No Fund Me thing for him. I'd send money.
They won't do a GoFundMe?
They won't do it? Oh, okay.
No, Wayne looked into it, or somebody, one of the other people that's on Amy's show, I think, looked into it. And the news media was GoFundMe wouldn't do criminals or something like that, and...
But he's not understand. A criminal yet.
That's right. That's what I'm
he's
thinking.
He's not a criminal yet.
But they have done. Other people have got, what was it, Kyle Rittenhouse made hundreds of thousands of dollars on GoFundMe.
Absolutely. Who was that?
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Who was that?
He shot the three guys in Wisconsin.
Three or four.
Went across state lines to do it.
Yeah, he went across state lines with an AR-15.
Really? Really?
How old was he, like 17?
17,
18,
yeah. He was too young to legally carry a rifle.
I don't think it's the job of GoFundMe to determine whether somebody's innocent or guilty. If you want to have somebody go out and try and raise money for their defense using GoFundMe, that's fine because he's innocent. Once he's guilty, maybe you could say, okay, he's not going to be able to collect money out of us. But up to that point, I mean, I bet if they had a GoFundMe for Luigi, they'd make a fortune out of Luigi.
I'd put money into it.
Yeah. I bet there are a lot of Italians out there going, whew, at least we're not going to get blamed for murder. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, why didn't this guy have a bullet-resistant vest on?
You know, well, I mean, then somebody, you know, I mean, sure. Why not?
That vest would have stopped a 9mm no problem. And they make them custom so they'll fit you and don't look like you're wearing, like the cops, don't look like you're wearing a non-custom vest. You'll never know he's got it on. And, you know, I mean, when you're making $10 million, you're a high, and working for United Healthcare, you're a big target.
Right.
No, I don't know if this guy had spent, you know what, off the shelf, high quality, like Point Blank or Safariland or something like that, Kevlar vest that the cops wear is $1,000 to $1,500. You can get custom-made ones by the same
company. Of course, somebody
can
shoot for your head, however.
Well, but, you know, that's why a lot of people early on said, oh, this guy's probably a professional hitman. Now, a professional hitman would have assumed that an executive has this bullet-resistant vest material on and shot him in the head, especially up that close. That's an easy, I mean.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, I mean, I said the other night, and I'll say it again. They say this is no way to solve problems.
No.
But all of a sudden, don't we have a major discussion going on in this country about health care and how much it costs and what they charge for it? You know, so apparently what he did is causing a discussion. And it has also caused these companies to rethink the way they're doing business, basically to save their own asses. But, you know what I'm saying. So, I mean, it's really amazing.
Yep. So I like the founder of Facebook. Whatever his name is, the Jewish
Zuckerberg.
Guy. Zuckerberg, thank you. He put Trump down. He canceled Trump's Facebook account and everything. And Trump said, if I become president, I'm going to put you in jail for something or rather. And yesterday he donated $1 million to Trump's inaugural thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I actually had dinner with Trump at Mar-a-Lago a couple weeks ago, and so.
But you're saying he said all this stuff.
He's trying to make nice.
You're saying he said all this stuff about him earlier.
Right.
Yes, he did.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, now he's trying to make nice. Now that Trump's president and might go after him and his company. So.
Oh, they're all kissing his ass.
Absolutely.
You know, they're all afraid he's going to do something to them. The fact that anybody has this fear, because the person who became president. Had people saying stuff negative about him and he was going to go after them. Just the idea that people believe that doesn't say much about us anymore. Yeah. And the fact that that's true, you know.
The Supreme Court ensured that he has the freedom to do it.
I mean, anybody that operates like that has no business being president.
That's for sure. Mm.
Well, you know, I mean, if I were a person in the media, I might be worried. You know?
Why do you think Joe and Mika went to Mar-a-Lago?
Right.
To deal before the king.
Yeah, well, I think that maybe if you're a part of the media and you've been putting him down, maybe you're somebody like, oh, say, Jimmy Kimmel or Bill Maher or whoever, I would immediately plan on moving to Syria.
You bet.
Because it looks like it's going to be more of a democracy under a former
There's a lot of open land for sale.
What?
There's a lot of open land for sale.
Well.
You know what's funny, too? It's that Zuckerberg went down there and he gave $1 million. It's like they're throwing the money to the Godfather, really. That's really what it is.
Exactly.
We just said that just before you came on. That's coincidental.
And what is the $1 million for?
I guess it's like it's almost like the protection money. Don't fuck with me.
No. But what is it for? Did Zuckerberg?
Oh, I don't know. I guess he donated to his campaign.
That's all private funded. No, all the parties they have for the inauguration in January.
Oh, it's the inauguration. Okay.
It's for the inauguration.
Who Trump invited to the inauguration? President Xi of China.
Oh, really?
And good for him. It would be nice if we could make
Vladimir wasn't invited.
It would be nice.
I mean, just because you invite him to a party, he's going to cave in. Come on.
Well, that's what he thinks. Like, you know what? I really, Alex, I'm going to tell you the truth. Thanksgiving, I found out through my brother. My brother-in-law voted for Trump. And you know what I did? I stayed the fuck home. I did not go.
No.
I'm sorry. I can't respect Trump voters anymore.
Why did your brother vote for Trump?
I don't know. I just said I didn't feel good. You know, I had a little bit of a cold. I could have went. I said,
why didn't you just tell him I'm not going to your goddamn Thanksgiving dinner because you voted for Trump?
I just said I was sick, but I told him, brother, I'm not going to
see this. I can't sit at the same table with you for dinner.
Not me. I'm out. I went. My mother wouldn't want me to go. I said, I'm staying the fuck home. I said, I watched the games. So I don't give a shit, really. I can't respect these people who voted for him.
Well, then you better start not appreciating one out of every two people you meet on the street.
I know.
Yeah.
The statistics are weird like that. I would agree with you based on statistics itself, but in New York City or something like that, it's not going to be, you know, every other person. In most of America, that's the way it would look like statistically, right?
Statistically.
Yeah, but only like 60% of the people voted, so he really didn't get half the people he got.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
You know, half you can look at it that way, voted. But he won anyway, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah. No. No.
I know. My brother said the same that you said, Alex. You know what he told me? He goes, man, he says, just, you know, we know we don't like Trump, we don't like him, but Alex, I just wasn't in the mood, really. I was like, I can't.
Well, I have to admit I voted for Trump, too.
Oh, no way.
How many people are going to be here tomorrow night?
How many people believe you? Raise their hand. Nobody, I'm sure.
No, I knew you never vote for that guy. Man, I don't even know anymore.
However,
there's so many reasons not to like Trump.
Well, I didn't vote for who? I think Schumer was up, wasn't he, this time? No, I can't.
Okay, you know, I just went right Democrat right down the line on my ticket.
If Schumer's going up, I'm not voting for him. You know, I just don't like him.
I know you were saying. I think he loses Virginia, too, I think. I could be wrong.
And the two Jews that are here will know the term I'm saying, that I think that Schumer is a shanda for the goyim.
What does that mean again?
Do you know what it means, Charlie?
No, goya means, you know, non-Jew or Gentile.
Yeah, that would make me.
Hey, so,
for the Gentiles.
What's the best way of describing? You know, there's certain words that are hard to define. I know what I'm saying, and I know what I mean, but I don't know how to translate it.
I remember you said, I know Meshuggah is a Jewish term meaning he's crazy, right? Meshuggah.
Meshuggah is crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are all Yiddish terms because Hebrew really is a lousy language.
It's tough, actually, yeah.
Oh, Yiddish is such a bright, colorful language.
Alex, would you say it's slang? I remember grandfather's store.
It is... Okay, here's, you know how you establish whether something is a language? If there is literature and music in that language.
Okay.
And in Yiddish, there is a lot of literature and a lot of music in Yiddish. So Yiddish is really, it's its own language, but it's a German Hebrew is what it is. It's kind of a German So, am I right or wrong, Josh? Tell me. Do I know what I'm talking about? Of course I do. I'm a Jew. Fuck you.
You would know, right?
What? No, am I right or wrong there on that, Josh?
On what establishes a language?
Yeah, I know you haven't done a syllabus on Yiddish. I'm sure of that.
I really don't know if it's considered a language or not. We'd have to ask a linguist, I guess.
A linguist would tell you it is, because you can produce literature and music in that language.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I don't know how common it is. Really, honestly, I don't hardly really know anything about it.
Yeah, well, gibberish has become the official language of MAGA. So, you know.
It's fairly common, yeah.
Yeah, sure. fairly common, yeah.
Oh, and you want to laugh? I went to the Key Food, right, over the weekend. Bananas were 79 cents a pound. I said, let me get a couple. Now I went yesterday, $1.79 a pound. I said, that. And now you hear Trump, I can't bring the grocery prices down.
Did you hear that? Did you hear him say that?
He was complaining that Biden brought them up.
Right? Yeah. But he blamed Joe Biden for, even I was mad at Biden.
No problem.
You know, of course he can't. Of course he can't. He can't bring them down, okay? There's nothing he can do to bring them down.
On the business news, on, I forget which business channel I was watching, Yahoo or something, he admitted that his tariffs are going to cause American people more money in the short term. And everybody will be fine. I'm not so sure everybody will be fine. And I don't.
How long is the short term?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Less than 1,000 years in his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
just 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
If there's anything you want that's made in China, I think I'd buy it now, or Mexico,
or Canada, or Mexico.
What could a president do or not do about the increase in prices at the grocery store?
You can just tell everybody to start shoplifting.
Let him answer, please, Josh.
I mean, it's pretty limited, you know. I mean,
there's not much.
Some power.
Well, all you can do, and he won't do it, is you've got to go after the distributors of various things like bananas and so on and not allow them to raise their prices. But I don't know if you can even do that.
Yeah, I mean, constitutionally, you know, it's really non-existent. But, you know, there have been a lot of federal laws over the decades that have given some autonomous power to the president, you know, which is constitutional for the most part. And they've given the presidents these powers, but I don't know a ton about, you know, what a lot of them really are. I mean, they have a little bit to, you know, like declare a national emergency for things and inflict some price controls and stuff like that if it's a really dire situation and things. But I mean, in the system of, you know, capitalism that we sort of, you know, or not, I mean, that we live in, I mean, it's pretty limited as to what he can do. I mean, the real process for things to really change would need to be legislatively, you know, so that would really rely on Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Congress has been giving up their power for, you know, quite a few years. I mean, really for decades. Political scientists and historians have written vastly about, you know, the rise of the imperial presidency in the last 50 years, really since Nixon, and it was thought to be on the decline, you know, in the last probably 20 years, maybe. Things were turning around a little bit, but it you can throw all that out the window. I mean, Congress has abdicated its own responsibilities terribly, you know, under Trump, of course. And it doesn't look like it's going to let up. I mean, they don't seem to have any care, not only just for the responsibilities that they really should have, but I mean, they have several things that they're giving up that not only are just constitutionally really in their power, but I mean, they were specifically enumerated to them, which courts, historians, political scientists have always held the things that were specifically enumerated, as in black letters spelled out, this is your job. You know, when they start giving up stuff like that, I mean, it's craziness, you know. I mean, the advice and consent of the Senate, for example, I mean, they don't seem to have a lot of interest in it. And I mean, look, it's one of the several powers that was directly enumerated to the Senate and the Constitution. You know, so when they don't even really want to do that, what does that say, right? You know, that's very bad. I mean, it's the modern day equivalent, you know, of you know you had one job, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't even fucking do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, but for, you know, a long time, courts and, you know, like I said, historians and them have always held these things, you know, when they went and looked at arguments, you know, a lot of the arguments that you would hear in court cases, et cetera, was they would say, hey, you know, this was a specifically enumerated power, which means that we should view it as the framers took this as a very serious responsibility. I mean, they left a lot of ambiguity in the Constitution, right? I mean, we've talked about that all the time.
Yeah.
So when you come across things that don't have any ambiguity whatsoever, mm-hmm. there it is, right there. It's your job. It must happen. You know, things like, you know, Congress shall make no law, except when they are clear with words like that, it's supposed to be clear and sacred. So when you get to a Congress that is willing to basically just give that up voluntarily, it doesn't say much at all about the measure of the people that are currently there, but it says even less about the measure of the political party that controls it, and it says even less about the people that serve right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they don't have any... To me, they don't have any sense of responsibility, duty, sacrifice, you know, any of that, right? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have any of it. And that's what bothers me, because to me, it's not very patriotic. And, you know, it just shows me what kind of people they are. You know, I mean, you know, our founders, you know, made sure that they put in the Declaration, you know, that they pledged their lives, you know, their fortune and their sacred honor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's that today? I mean, you know, where is the group of people today that would think like that or talk like that, you know? I mean, I don't see any sacrifice like that, you know? So it's very, you know, that's why I'm disappointed. I mean, it's because they are just willing to pour out everything that's been given to them, and, you know, in the name of whatever they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's terrible. Yeah. Sad.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
I think that if any president that we have would really want to, I wouldn't say legally get government approval and all of that, but emotionally, they could make some improvements. For example, if you talk about bananas, they could say, you know, I am not going to eat any bananas, and I'm going to recommend all the employees who work for the president
mm-hmm.
are also recommended not to eat bananas for 3 months. And if they also recommend that any university could do it, I would recommend that they also do the same thing. And yeah. I could also tell that if the senators and the congressmen at certain states, that it would be very nice if they would make an approach like that in the same 3 months. And I would like to see that at that time the price of bananas will go up tremendously lower. And I bet you I can prove that. And I think that could be easily done. And the results would certainly scare the producers of bananas to keep their prices down. Anybody say?
Well, let me tell Tony something. I don't know where you're getting your bananas, but let us know, because I'd buy them at $1.79, because currently at Costco, I'm paying $2.18 for 3 pounds.
Oh, that's $3.
I was at Costco. They were so green, I didn't buy them over the weekend, so I got these at Key Food, a couple.
You should buy them green.
Yes.
You know what? Sometimes when I bought them green last time, they were never turning, though. I usually put them by the window.
If you buy them green, you take them home, they're starting to ripen already. Mm-hmm. What they do is they gas bananas. And they gas bananas so it prevents them from ripening immediately. And then they ripen eventually over a nice amount of time so that they can sit on a shelf and not go bad. So if you buy them yellow, by the time you get them home, they're going to start turning brown. Yeah. So you want to buy them green so they start turning yellow. But anyway, at Costco, bananas are $2.18 a pound and $2.72 for the organic.
Well, you learn something new every day.
So you're getting a good price for your bananas at $1.79.
So they gas the bananas and that keeps them green longer?
Yeah, I used to have a friend, Tony Tantillo, used to be the green grocer over at KPIX.
Then he
came to work here in New York. And he taught me all about this stuff. He taught me that, you know, they gas bananas.
They gas bananas to keep them
fresher longer. Okay?
Yeah. They gas bananas to kill spiders.
Where y'all are getting your banana? I pay less than $1 a pound for bananas.
Yeah, I got them cheaper than Charlie. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're closer to where they're being produced. They're in South America, aren't they?
Yes.
Well, anyway, all I'm looking at here at Costco is through
put the chicken through the weekend.
Through Instacart is today they're $2.18 a pound, and then I can get the organic for $2.72. But what's the difference between the organic and the regular bananas, outside of the fact that you got a bunch of assholes who are willing to pay more money because they're organic?
Yeah, I usually just get the regular. I never cross that organic.
What are the other bananas fake bananas and not real?
They're gonna make me smarter by opening
plantains.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
I'm afraid that
the price of bananas are, because when I go shopping and I buy bananas, I don't even think about the price. You know? Mm-hmm. I just want six or eight bananas, and I'm horrible on if I want it, I just go get it. And I mean, I'm not as rich as Alex with this go fuck me money. but isn't it funny? You got all that money now and you're concerned about the price of bananas.
Miguel Garrett.
Well, it's not like I'm terribly wealthy, okay?
I get it.
I'm still going to look for the lowest price on bananas I can bet.
Yeah.
You know how to lose all that money you got? You know how to lose all that money you got? Buy the bananas for $2.72.
Send them to Tony.
Send them to bananas.
Yeah.
I usually put them in my cereal sometimes, so.
Yeah, but I don't know how he ever thinks that he's going to be able to turn it around, you know. But what the hell, you know? He's got to end the war in Ukraine
on day one, isn't it?
On day one. He said he may do it before day one, but he's not president yet. How can he do anything?
Can't get over this guy.
He has a weird idea of what being president, the powers of being president, gives you. You know? You can't do anything before day one, can you, Josh?
I mean, it's a little gray. You're not really supposed to, but, I mean, he can.
Well, he's not supposed to be going overseas meeting with these people yet.
Well, they invited him.
Why would you do that?
It's more people kissing his ass.
Once in a while, airplanes have accidents, too. I'm not sure I'd be flying too much.
I mean, you shouldn't undermine a current administration's policy, you know, but there are also some legal stipulations there. A president-elect is not authorized to direct the State Department or anybody else to make any kind of deals. But none of that matters in this case.
What's to stop him as a U.S. citizen and not president yet if he was friends with Putin to go over there and ask Putin to stop the war? I don't see how there's anything illegal there.
Supposedly, you know, he hasn't talked to Putin yet.
I don't know.
What does Putin think about it?
Yeah, really. I think that's the side that you need to be talking to if you're going to stop the war.
You know how many people have died? Russians have died in that war? It's like one over a million, isn't it? Amazing amount of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. High, but it's been long. I'm not sure if it's that high, but
wait a minute. Hold on a second. Echo, how many Russians have been killed in the Ukraine war?
I'm not quite sure how to help you with that. Oof.
Well, fuck you then. What did I buy you for? Echo, how many Russians have died in the Russia-Ukrainian war?
I don't know that.
Really? That's amazing. Wouldn't you think she'd know that?
You'd think she would know some kind of rough stuff.
even the numbers you hear, I'm not sure what kind of accuracy they are. I mean, you know, the Russians obviously don't really put that kind of information out. Ukrainians put out numbers often that I'm sure are probably higher than they really are. I had heard a few hundred thousand. I hadn't heard a million.
Yeah,
but maybe... And that may be inflated. You know, again, I don't really know who can be trusted on that. I mean, the number is very high. I mean, I'm not trying to say it's not, you know, I'm just saying I don't know if it's that high. But certainly it's high. They've suffered a lot of casualties. I mean, you know, they don't have resources and manpower to be spreading themselves out any thinner, you know. I mean, look, you know, the deal in Syria was...
Okay, here we go. What was the death rate in the Russian-Ukraine war? Ukrainian forces... 4,400? No, that isn't right.
According to Google, 82,000 Russian soldiers have been killed in Ukraine.
82,000? Okay.
82,000. Yeah.
That's probably
a lot.
Not sure where they're getting that from either, but
I don't
know. When they say this, I think these are all estimates. They're no.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with Josh. They bump up the estimates.
Yeah. I just dropped my mouse. Can't do that. That isn't right. Let's see here. Death rate in the war. Here we. What is this? Five more rows. Let's see here. The Russo-Ukrainian war. Military wounded is 550,000. What does it say about casualties? Military dead. It's included in the wounded, it says. Well, screw you, too.
Yeah, casualties are wounded plus deaths, so...
Right, yeah.
They're what?
No, I mean, not all casualties are deaths, you know. I mean, some of that
is wounded,
you know.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just Googled number of Russian soldiers killed in the Ukraine war, and that came back with the 82,000 on Google.
And that seems incredibly low, so I'm not really sure.
And you sure it's not 82,003?
Who's that, 150?
New York Times says 100.
It's enough that they had to get troops from North Korea to come over
there. They brought the troops in from North Korea to kill them off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been very high, no doubt.
Yeah.
Over 100,000.
A very stupid war, actually. You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
not very wise.
Well, he pretty much, you know, there's that, what is it, the Doha region or something? Is that the one I'm thinking of? The region that the Russia pretty much were Russian. In
Donbass?
Donbass. Yeah. That area, pretty much they haven't gained anything more than that. You know, they haven't gained a hell of a lot.
I mean, it's
if so, if I were Ukraine, just for giggles, I'd give that up. You know,
won't appease him. He wants more.
That's right. Yeah. He's got this mistaken idea that Ukraine is really part of Russia, and that's the way it's got to be.
Well, it was part of the USSR at one time.
Yeah, so was Poland. So that means Poland's next?
Probably.
And so was part of Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, it still is, isn't it? Is it still Russian?
No.
It's a unified, Germany now.
Yeah. So, I mean,
after the fall of the Berlin Wall and communism, 80.
And when the wall came down, that unified Germany.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he would like to return a lot of old Soviet territory, but that's not
right.
So if I were Ukraine, I'd give up that region and just say, okay, you've got that, and you've got Crimea, a few other things there, and take it and let us have the rest of our country, and let's live in peace now. Let's stop all this bombing. But I don't think that Russia's going to settle for that.
Plus, what about the people that live there? What if they don't want to be part of Russia?
Well, that...
They'd be pissed off at Ukraine for giving them up.
You think that really means anything to Putin?
Oh, no.
What, they don't want to be part of Russia? How can they... It's unthinkable that you don't want to be a part of Russia. You know? That's ridiculous. But anyway, so what else is in the news? Anything else big in the news? What else have we got?
Well, the head of the FBI resigned.
Well, he's going to resign.
I thought he already did.
No, he's going to resign when Trump takes power. He only had 3 years left.
I know. How would Trump get him out? I mean, he was appointed to a 10-year term.
Especially because he was appointed by Trump.
But Trump could, my understanding is Trump could rather fire him or ask him to resign. And so he's taking the easy way out and resigning.
But, you know, isn't it a stupid thing to say, well, I made a mistake with him.
No.
You know, I want him out now.
But, you know, he knows that he signed off on the Mar-a-Lago invasion of the FBI. And so Trump's pissed about that. He says, you're gone.
Well, then they have to.
It's not like they didn't find any illegal documents in Mar-a-Lago when they did the raid.
They're not illegal to Trump. Pissed
off at them for doing the raid when he was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
They removed those documents, didn't they?
Yeah.
So the government gets to now keep them.
Yeah.
Well, the government should have had them in the first place.
Yeah. Well, of course, Trump shouldn't have taken them with him. You know. But, hey, Biden did. That's okay. You know. I would imagine that every president who leaves office accidentally takes some documents with them. And then when asked for them back, they go, whoops, my bad, here they are.
Give them back, yeah.
Right? But when Trump was approached on that, he wouldn't give them back. You know, he didn't want to let anybody in the front door at Mar-a-Lago. So they had to do what they did.
Yeah,
you know, the other way around. I think he let everybody in the front door.
You know, I just saw this movie, The Apprentice. By the way, I watched it last night. And have you? You haven't had a chance to see it, have you, Josh?
No. I wouldn't watch it. No.
Well, why not?
Because I don't. I've got a lot of shit to do in 2 more hours. Yeah. Something about Trump is not really on.
It's more about Roy Cohn.
I mean,
than it is about Trump. And Jeremy Strong's portrayal of Cohn is chillingly accurate. As someone who has looked right in the face, nose to nose, with Roy Cohn, I can tell you that was an accurate portrayal. This man was a sick puppy. And it shows where the giant orange orangutan got his philosophy of how to do business. Because Cohn had three rules, and one of them was you never admit you're wrong.
Yep.
Okay, never admit you're wrong. Two other things, and they were things that just Trump did as a matter of course that he learned from Cohn. And that's why it's called The Apprentice, because basically Cohn inculcated in him all the philosophy of how to do business that he now engages in. And Cohn was just a piece of crap, I got to tell you. Having personally had to deal with him, boy, just amazing. Just amazing.
I think the movie would be a lot better if they fired Trump. You're fired. Know what he said on The Apprentice when he came into the room and they fired individuals?
Yeah. And why exactly would that be a great thing for them to do in the movie?
I don't know. I think it'd be a nice thing to see in a movie where Trump gets fired. I don't think he's ever been fired from anything.
Well, basically, that's what we did in 2020.
Yeah, we fired him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the first time he ever found out what it was like to be fired.
Yeah.
Cool. I bet he has a new pandemic on his hands.
Oh, God, don't say that.
That's true.
It's almost guaranteed since he doesn't believe in science. Right.
Well, you always, though, he wouldn't have a new pandemic because he didn't know how to handle the last one. What you do is if you induce a pandemic, if you figure you have the way to take care of it, and then you become the hero. But he had no way to handle it. He was that was a perfect example of him being totally incapable of handling a national crisis.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Except for most people alive had never gone through a pandemic, so, you know. But he had an expert there on pandemics, Fauci, and he didn't want to listen to him.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Biden may be pardoning Fauci and what's her name?
Liz Cheney, because they're afraid he's going to go
Liz
after
Liz Cheney. And there's one other that he's thinking of. I think it's, what's his name? Congressperson out in California. I'm trying to remember.
Adam Schiff. Yeah.
Adam Schiff.
Because he ran the January 6th committee.
I mean, think about that, too. Think about what he has to do, that this guy wants to pretty much go after the January 6th committee. Have you ever had a president who's this dangerous that the other president leaving has to pardon people because he led an insurrection? You can't make it up, really.
I know. It's terrible, and it's sad, and there's nothing we can do about it. Okay? You know? I said this before. This is why we don't like to discuss the whole administration or anything that it's doing, because no matter how much we talk, we're not going to solve the problem. All we're going to do is we're going to feel good about identifying the problem, and nobody has to do, it doesn't take much of a brain to do that, you know? So we got to just wait. What we got to do is in 2 years, when the Congress comes up for grabs again, we've got to do everything we can to wean people back to the Democratic Party. Or to Republican, liberal Republicans, you know. But outside of that, until then, there's not a damn thing we can do.
You know, and you know what? And Time Magazine made him man of the person.
We talked about that earlier.
Talked about that, too, before you got on the show.
Yeah.
How do you go from a villain to a hero? I just don't get it.
He's not a hero.
You know, but they're making it like that.
It's
like,
not a hero.
The person of the year doesn't mean you're a hero.
They're kind of praising him.
Here we go talking about it again. What good is talking about it going to do?
I think Time Magazine.
Tell me one thing talking about it is going to do.
I think, you know what? I'm going to tell you what I don't know how you guys do.
Outside of being a catharsis for you, and a catharsis for me, and a catharsis for Charlie and Jeff and Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. I don't wanna, oh, boy.
Bless you.
And well, Josh.
I think it's more about the people, not so much as Trump, in my opinion. I think I'm more afraid of the people who put him in power and what's going to happen.
What are you going to do about it? Trump, what are you going to do about it, Tony?
Well, I hate to say it. I think what I'm going to do about it is if I know certain people are really pro-Trump, I'm going to try to distance myself from them.
Well, no, but that's you personally in your personal life.
Well, you'd ask me what I'm going to do, and I think that makes me feel better as a person, really.
And believe me, knowing you, you can't afford losing more friends.
Well, you know. but I know what you're saying. Like, but,
oh,
you know,
that's bold.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlie, would you disagree with me on that? There's not a goddamn thing we can do right now at this moment.
There's nothing we can do right now, no, because he's in office for 4 years. We had plenty of things we could have done November the 5th, but we decided not to do it for some reason.
I believe in prayer. Let's all start praying for a heart attack.
Well,
either that or they said if you put somebody in a soccer stadium, which are huge, right? And you fill the soccer stadium people, and you put somebody in the center of the soccer stadium, and all the people in the soccer stadium wish the guy dead, he would die.
Well, didn't I get in trouble for that?
It's just a theory.
Yeah, we can try it online. I think
you can say whatever you want about him right now until he's president. So
yeah,
when he becomes president, then it becomes federal law to threaten him. Even jokingly.
You can always talk about RFK Jr. Guy's another crackpot.
Well, he's thinking of going after the people, you know, sending the new head of the FBI or the new head of the Justice Department.
Yeah,
and he's asked
after the people who went after him.
He's asking Trump to take his daughter or granddaughter and make her the head of the CIA.
Who?
In today's news, yeah. RFK. RFK is asking some relative, I don't know, I think it's his daughter or his granddaughter to become, you know, he's asking Trump, who was in the news today, to become head of the CIA.
He's already asked for somebody to be the head of the CIA, if I don't...
Oh, yeah, that was Laura Trump, yeah.
Was Laura Trump?
No. Yeah.
How is she? She's not even qualified. It's just ridiculous.
Nobody's qualified in this
Is there anything...
I'm going to throw my hat in the ring.
Let me just ask quickly. I got to ask this question of Josh, because then we got to go. But the question is, Josh, and you got exactly 30 seconds. Is there anything against Laura Trump becoming one of the people in the cabinet?
No.
No? There's nothing about hiring your relatives. Well, you had John Kennedy.
Yeah.
Made Robert Kennedy, right?
Confirmed by the Senate.
Attorney General.
Confirmed by the Senate.
Huh? Yeah.
No, if they're confirmed by the Senate, they're a member of the cabinet.
Yep, if they're confirmed by the Senate. But I think there's a law against that since Kennedy. If I'm not mistaken, there's some law. But I don't know what it is. But anyway, got some music playing there. You know, I don't know. I just don't know. But what the hell. I'll become president, and I'll make all of you, put all of you up for various things. What do you want to be, Secretary of State, Josh? I think he'd be good for that.
You know? I want something light. I don't want no stress. Yeah. I'll be your chef.
We'll make you Secretary of Agriculture, Tony. That way you can control bananas.
No stress job.
Anyway, that's it for tonight. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. And thanks to Charlie, and thanks to Josh for being here. And thanks to our good friend Alan for joining us, and Tony. And we will be here again tomorrow night. Everybody, take a big wave goodbye. Make a big wave goodbye, and I'll make a big wave goodbye at you, okay? There they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for tonight. Guess who's back tonight? Amy Emanuel is back tonight. after a couple of days off, and she'll be doing her program, The Intersection, next over most of this same GabNet. She will also be taking her calls on Skype, GabNet Live. I'll see you all tomorrow night, same time, same station in life. And in the meantime, as always, if you see her, tell her I love her, okay? Bye-bye, everybody.